Good to be here. It's amazing that we are in this place. And when it's, you know, sometimes it's so sunny outside and the sun comes through the windows and it might hit off a car window and hit you. But today, obviously, we see it's dark and gloomy out there. But we're in here and it feels warm and cozy and I love it. We got to be careful when we leave here and go out from here today. But this is awesome. I was thinking before I got up here, you know, this may or may not be true, but this is what I feel like. Okay, so I feel like when I get up here to speak, or anyone does for that matter, but when I get up here to speak, that, hey, I might be talking to folks and telling them the most important thing that they're going to hear this week. Now, that may not be true. I get that. I'm not saying that. There's a lot going on this week that you may hear God speaking to you in other places and stuff, but I think that in my head, hey, you may be telling someone the most important thing that they're going to hear this week. And it just kind of emphasizes, it raises everything to the next level. And I get kind of excited, to be honest with you, not to get up here and talk, but just to share with you from God's word. And it's a huge blessing. So we're in Ephesians chapter 2. And if you pay attention, you're going to notice that the scripture that was read this morning by Al was the same scripture that was read last week with three extra verses added. I think last week we did verses 1 through 7. This week we did verses 1 through 10. And so you might be thinking, hey, wait a minute. We already did this. This is the repeat. No, we're still in 2 Corinthians, but we're going to keep looking at it, right? Ephesians. We're in Corinthians in our class. We're in Ephesians. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. The title of the sermon is, where you are, and where you are going. Right? Where you were, where you are now, and where you are going. Ephesians chapter 2 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's where we were, right? All of us. That's where we were before Jesus. We were dead in our transgressions and in our sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. You know, I don't think that any of us in here would have claimed in the past that we followed Satan. I don't think that we would have said that we followed. But yet, if we live in the ways of the world, we kind of are. And unfortunately, we can be Christians and still kind of follow the ways of the world. We can still live by the teachings of the world, go with the flow, do what everyone else does, even though we claim that we serve someone else. Right? I can claim that I serve Jesus, but you can look at my life and say, you know what? Based on how he lives, it looks like he's not serving Jesus. It looks like he's serving someone else. And now, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm out there doing evil things or illegal things, but it could be that I'm putting my trust in the operation of how I think this world operates instead of putting my trust in Jesus Christ. When we live following Jesus in all areas of our lives will look different. Our lives will stand out. We might be considered a little odd by some folks. We might be considered a little crazy by some folks. But we're following our new ruler, our new master, Jesus, right? And he's saying, you used to. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. You guys used to follow the ruler of the air. The ruler of the air, that doesn't necessarily mean that we'll say Satan here. That doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't really exist, that it's just, you know, fluff and nothing. That means it just kind of permeates, right? It's in the air. It's the things that you learn. It's the ways that you follow that you just kind of received. You know, you hear people talk. You see what other people do. And, oh, this is how we operate. This is the culture. This is society. You know, I may go to another culture, another part of the world, and they do things a little differently, right? But over here, we do these things this way. For example, in some cultures, family is very, very important. Right? You're gonna make sure you're talking to one of your family members, a parent or grandparent, daily, right? Weekly, if not daily. You're gonna get together often, right? You're gonna live near your family. This family is very important. In other cultures, not as much. You know, you can move away from your family. You may or may not call them that week or maybe even that month. It doesn't mean anything, right? That's just how kind of some cultures are different in many other ways, right? This is what I'm talking about, how we're doing things, not really knowing who we're following or why. But when we come under the under Jesus, right, we are taught to live differently. We are taught to follow His ways, right? So He says, you were dead when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. And then Paul says in verse 3, he says, all of us also lived among them at one time. All of us also. You guys in Ephesus. More likely, he's talking to the Gentiles there. And then he says, all of us, Jews. We too. And if you look at Jewish history, right? If you look at the Israelites as the nation separated, and you had Israel and Judah, and they started to follow other nations around them and worship other gods and do detestable practices, you realize, yes, they too were following the ways of the world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. They were living that way too. Paul's acknowledging this, that yes, you guys were living opposed to the way God wanted to live. Guess what? We did too. We did too. So Paul's not separating them in that way and saying, we got it all together and you guys are don't. He's saying, yes, we live that way as well. When we lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. He says, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. All right. So Paul's that's always the point he's making. You guys, you Gentiles, you deserve God's wrath. You were living opposed to the teachings of Jesus and God. You were dead in your sins and your transgressions. Guess what? We were too. We were too. Now I'm going to stop here and we're going to skip down to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Because what you're going to see here is Paul's going to talk about these Gentiles, folks who, all of us, right, who are dead in our sins and our transgressions, but God's made us alive. And he's going to kind of compare that to, if it's not even kind of the same, the relationship between the Gentiles and the Jews and how they are now part of the same family. All right. As a preacher, you think, wait, is that in agreement or did I say something wrong? I'm not sure. So go with me to chapter 2, verse 11. All right, look at these words, right? So in verse 1... He said, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions. Now go to verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. In verse 1, look, you were dead. In verse 11 and 12, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants and the promise of the promise without hope and without God in the world. So you were dead in your sins and your transgressions, and you were separate from the family of God, right? You were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship. That's where you were, he's telling them. And all of us fall in that category. We've all are dead in our sins and our transgressions. We were all outside of the family of Christ. Go back to verse 4 now. But because of his great love for us. But we were there, but here's where we are now. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. We were dead, but because God loves us so much, he made us alive in Christ, right? We were dead in our sins and transgressions, but God made us alive. We were excluded from the family of Christ. Go with me to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, he who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier dividing wall of hostility. We were dead in our sins and transgressions, and we were excluded from the family of Christ. But because God loves us so much, Christ saved us from death. Christ saved us from our sins. But also, not only that, Christ brought us in. He made the two groups one. right? One humankind, one mankind, one humanity. That's what God did through Christ. He took the groups that were separate and brought them together. That's part of the ways of the world. Oftentimes we think about the kingdom of the ruler of the air and what Satan wants us to do, and we think about sins. We think about the things that go against the Ten Commandments. We think about kill and steal and hate and you know, how I mistreat my body and the things that I do, right? And how I treat it. We think about those things and we recognize those as sins. But sometimes there's other teachings of the kingdom of the ruler of the air, the teachings that kind of permeate our society that I don't see as bad. One might be division. Because it seems very apparent that Paul was... had a lot to say about two communities becoming one community in Christ, right? He took two groups that were separate, that there was a wall of division between, and he made them one. He took the Jews and the Gentiles, and he brought them together. You Gentiles were dead in your sins and your transgressions, and guess what? We were too. But God has saved us through Jesus Christ from those. And we were separate, but God has brought us together in Jesus Christ. And that's where we are. Being alive in Christ means being a part of God's family. I can't claim to be a part of God's family if I'm excluding others who should be in that family, right? I'd have to have the spirit of unity. I have to be able to recognize that people are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And I have to include. That's what Paul's saying here. Back in Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, you don't necessarily have to turn there, only be there for a second. Paul says a verse in verse 23 that we all know very, very, very well. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Right? We all recognize that verse. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And usually when I think of that verse, I think of it in, okay, I've sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. Josiah sinned, and he's fallen short of the glory of God. Kelly sinned, he's fallen short of the glory. And I can individually, I want to pick out all of us. That means every single one of us. And indeed it does. But when you read the verse immediately before that, in the context of what Paul's saying, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The scripture is not an individual type of verse that says, I have sinned and fall short and you have fall. It's saying that, hey guys, you can't tell me that those people don't belong because they're sinners. No. Yes. Guess what? So are you. We're all one. This is a verse that is being said that we are together in this. And so Paul's saying here in Ephesians, he's making the case that God has saved us from our sins through Jesus Christ. But even more than that, he's brought us together. He's unified mankind, right? We're all one in Jesus Christ. We don't need to put up the barriers anymore and divide. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Now let's continue reading in Ephesians. Let's go down to chapter 2, Ephesians. Let's go to verse 8. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not only you Gentiles, but as Jews as well. Because Paul recognizes that. We can't keep the law, right? We have been saved by grace as well. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Right? The Jews cannot boast about being God's people because they can't obtain it on their own. It has to be given to them. And look at verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. This is where we're going, church. Maybe we're there now, but we also need to continually be going in this direction. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So where were we? Dead in our sins and transgressions and divided from other people groups. Where are we? We're saved in Christ from our sins, from our transgressions. Right, we've been given new life. And not only that, in Christ, we are now one humanity. We are no longer divided. And so what do we do with this now that we're alive, now that we are a new creation? Well, guess what? That new creation is to do good works. That's what God has created us for, right? We are His workmanship. We are His handiwork. We are what He has built. We are what He has done to do good works in Christ Jesus, the one who has saved us. Now, let's compare this to what he says on the next paragraph in the Greek. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Excuse me, let's start in verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, the Jew and the Gentile, made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh, Jesus, the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man. That's one mankind. That's one humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. Gentiles who are far away, Christ came and preached peace to you. And to those who were near, the Jews, Christ came and preached peace to them. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, we're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. This is what Christ has done. He's brought us together for this, all right? So, if you haven't noticed, I've been trying to keep these two thoughts separate, even though they're very much connected. We're dead in our sins and transgressions, no matter who you are. No matter what you thought your relationship to God was on your own, it wasn't enough. I need to stay over here on this side, sorry. Jesus died for you to bring you, to give you life, eternal life, right? As Christians, we get that. And so you're no longer dead, but you're now alive in Christ. Last week we talked about not only that, you're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ, right? He wants to give us so much more than just eternal life. Now over here, we were separate. We were divided. We were opposed to each other based on nationality, based on race, based on the language I spoke, based on education, economic status, whatever it might be, right? But under Christ, all of that is gone. It doesn't matter anymore. We're a new creation. We're a new humanity. We don't follow the ways we used to follow. Things like, well, they're different than you, or they belong to that nation, those don't apply anymore. That's the spirit of the air. Christ says, no, it's different. You belong to me, and you are one now. And so I used to be opposed to you in one way or another, and vice versa, but now we are one humanity in Christ. So over here, okay, I'm made alive. Why? Because now I'm God's handiwork, created to do good works. So how does that apply over here? So what now? Now that we're one, what? Romans chapter 1 in verse 20, Paul says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, the things that you don't necessarily see right up front, his invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen. Wait a minute, what? God's invisible qualities, his divine nature, his eternal power and his divine nature, they have been clearly seen. Where? He says, being understood from what has been made. That is God's handiwork. That word that we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. That's the word I'm looking for. Now that we've been saved, we're God's handiwork. His workmanship is used in one other place in Scripture. Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1. To say God's invisible qualities are seen in his handiwork. What has been made? And he's talking about creation. He's saying folks are without excuse, is what he's talking about in Romans chapter 1. People are without excuse. They should know that there's a God who is eternal and has all power because based on what he has created. Well, guess what? A part of this new creation, this new earth, this new heaven, we're the first fruits of that. That spirit, that Holy Spirit that's deposited in us. We are the first of that. That should start to be seen in the church. So that now, God's handiwork, us, people should start to see God
when they see us.
They are now, God's handiwork is now seen in the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 21, Paul says, from now on, we don't regard anyone from a worldly point of view. We don't do that anymore. We used to, when we followed the ruler of the air, we used to regard people in a worldly point of view. It says, in fact, we used to regard Christ that way, but we don't do that anymore. That's not how Jesus regarded people, right? Jesus didn't look at people based on their status. He didn't look at them based on where they were from. And now we don't either, because we follow Jesus. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. God's new creation has come if they are in Christ. We belong to the new world, the new heavens, the new earth. We're not of the old anymore. We don't operate in the old ways anymore. We operate following the new. Yes, we are still in the world. We are still in the old, and it's still operating in its manner, but we don't follow those ways. We follow the ways of the new creation. He says, the old is gone, and the new is here, and it's seen in us. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, right? We were dead in our sins and transgressions, but God reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. God's reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He's not counting people's sins against them because Jesus paid for them. And he has committed to us this handiwork, this new creation. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. We go out into the world where before you might look out at the creation and see God's eternal power, right? His divine nature. People should now see it in us and how we live. We are Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, Paul says, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So, church, I was dead, God made me alive. So I'm now created, I'm a new creation to do God's work, right? To do good things, to God's handiwork for that reason. He compares that with, we were separate, but through Christ we're now one. Why? Because when the world sees the church, they should see what God is about and what he has done. And it's seen in love. That people who have no business loving each other, love each other. That people who used to fight against each other now say, no, you go first. People willing to sacrifice and lay down their lives for each other. That is the new creation. That is a taste of the new world that is to come. And it must be seen in the church. That's why we are brought together. Jesus said, he talks about this at the end of John, but then John summarizes this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The church doesn't make sense in the old creation, right? It shouldn't make sense to the old creation. We should stand out from the world around us as people who are willing to lay down our lives for one another. That is the love of Christ. That is the love of God that we see in Christ that should be seen in us. We are the ambassadors now of this new kingdom, this new world. How we live, how we speak, how we treat one another, how we treat our enemies, how we operate no longer should follow the rules of the old world, because those are dying and they don't represent Christ. They represent the old way. We now should follow Jesus in all areas. And it may look different because it is, but it looks better and it's new and it's right and it's God's way. And that's what we're called to. Church, loving one another based purely on the love that God has shown us in Christ. That's how we operate now, and that's how we're supposed to live. And church, we've been tasked with something very great. We should allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. We should allow the Spirit to lead us and to guide us in how we interact with one another, how we treat one another. Because that's how the world is going to see God's power, eternal power. That's how the world is going to see His divine nature, because it's already operating in us. It's being lived out in us. That's what we're called to, church. It's not just, oh, God, save me from my sins. Good. I'm going to sit around and wait until He comes back so I can go to heaven. It's now, I have been created for good things. I have been created for better things. I am a part of the new world, and I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ to this world. And that should be seen in my life. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing that God allows us to participate in this reclaiming of His creation to make all things new. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, right? We have the Holy Spirit, the deposit of the guarantee that is to come. It's in the church. Our status is amazing because of God's love, right? Josiah is going to lead a song. It's a song of invitation. If there's anything that you need, if you need the prayers of this congregation, or you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you have that opportunity now as we stand and sing.